Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Do we have?
No one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you broke.
Yes, indeed. That, of course, was the theme from Friends. The sitcom dream was happy young professionals sharing apartments, enjoying work and play. But could that be as much fiction as fact? And could that cohort be one of the worst affected by loneliness? Professor Andrea Wickfield is director of the Centre of Loneliness Studies at Sheffield Hallam University, and she's on the line now. Good afternoon, Andrea.
Good afternoon.
Is that the case, that actually that generation, young people in their early 20s, late teens, that they could be the most affected by loneliness?
Yeah, it certainly is. We know from research over the last decade or so that that age group between 16 and 24 are the most lonely. And some recent research by the ONS actually said, say in the UK, for example, that 33% of Britons between 16 and 29 feel lonely sometimes, always and often. And that's replicated in other countries around the globe, including the US. So it certainly is the most lonely group at the moment.
Are we blaming social media to some degree for this?
I think if we think about the definition of loneliness, loneliness is when there's a mismatch between the types and quality of relationships that you have with those that you desire. And certainly what happens, especially with young people, is that they compare the relationships they have at the moment with their peers, especially on social media. And a lot of it, of course, is often an illusion. And they imagine that their friends on social media have got many more contacts than they really have, and they've got this active social life and partying. Also, there's a societal pressure on young people. It's expected that young people will have friends compared to, say, an older generation. To some extent, as you age, you expect to have less social connections.
And even like that, we played Friends, the Friends theme tune there, but you know, television and online images, as you say, like that, feeds into this idea that this is what you should be. This is what this would be, the natural, normal way of being. And it puts pressure on.
It certainly does. And I know recently we've been talking to some young people who feel lonely, and a few of them mentioned things like Friends and other programmes on television, or things they see on YouTube. And they actually said in some focus groups, so it's not like that then. Not everybody's got friends like you see on television. And of course, the answer is no. And I think sometimes we assume that friends and friendships come easy. And as you age, you realise that actually developing and maintaining friends, it's time consuming, and you have to really put some effort into it. And it doesn't come easy. And we shouldn't expect necessarily that we will have friends. And if we don't, we shouldn't worry too much about it, but we should try and find ways that we maybe connect to other people, or maybe to our surroundings or places and spaces around us, so we get a better sense of belonging to place as well as to other people.
Yeah. Talk to me a little, Andrea, about the difference between being lonely and being alone, and what are the telltale signs that somebody is in trouble?
Yeah, so being alone is obviously not having any connections around you. If you're alone and you're happy about that, then that's absolutely fine, and we often call that solitude. If you're alone and you desire those social connections, that's when you can feel lonely. And again, as I say, it's this mismatch between the types and quality of relationships that you have with those that you desire. Now, we know that you can be surrounded by people as well and still feel lonely, because you maybe lack that connection, that deep, meaningful connection to other people. Likewise, you can just have one person. As long as you've got that meaningful relationship with that person, you won't necessarily feel lonely. And so, do you want me to talk about the telltale signs?
Yes,
you
please.
Well?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we've got to remember that being lonely is a natural human response to having a lack of social connections. And when we're lonely for a temporary period, it's absolutely fine. If we're lonely more frequently, often, on a daily basis, that's when it can become chronic loneliness, and that's when you get neurological changes. So you might start seeing people withdrawing from interaction, withdrawing from society. They might be depressed, feel more anxious, and quite often they can interpret signals from other people more negatively as well. So they're some of the key things to look for. But we should also remember that there's a stigma attached to loneliness, so people often don't want to admit it.
Of course. And when you say neurological changes, like people's brains, actually the wiring, your wiring changes if you're suffering from chronic loneliness.
It certainly does. So what you may perceive people's responses to you in a more negative way. So if, say, you pass somebody in the street and they smile at you, you might actually think see that negatively and not as a sign that somebody wants to connect to you. It also leads to inflammation and rising levels of cortisol. So there can also be physical health problems later in life as well. It can lead to dementia, cardiovascular disease, and we know that people who are lonely, chronically lonely, are more likely to die earlier as well. It's been linked to likened to the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day, for example.
God, that's an extraordinary start, isn't it? It's a serious for your health, to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Yes.
Wow. I know in the UK, the NHS is taking loneliness really seriously for exactly this reason now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think the main way in which the NHS at the moment in the UK is dealing with loneliness is through social prescribing. So that's where GPs connect with a local link worker, and that link worker will refer somebody on to a local service. It's really good that this has taken place and that loneliness is seen as a health condition more. I think one of the main issues about social prescribing, though, is that it's inconsistent in terms of where it is around the country and how it's implemented. So we really need to, I think, maybe try and make that more consistent so it's available to everybody.
And I know that the research you've done obviously was done in the UK context, but you know, given our proximity and all the cultural connections, would you expect to see the same kind of outcomes from that study here?
I think so. I know that some recent research earlier on in the year showed that Ireland was the most lonely of all the EU countries. And given what we know, that young people are the group in terms of being at risk of loneliness, that's rising. So, and that seems to be a pattern occurring everywhere. So I imagine it would be the same there. And I think there are obviously some issues about Ireland in terms of being a more rural country, where you can, you know, that can be both beneficial and detrimental. You might have really close-knit communities where people can connect, but at the same time, if you don't feel you belong, or you maybe don't have those kinds of connections there, you can feel more isolated.
So what should we be doing? What message should we be sending out now, particularly this time of year?
I think the first thing we should say is it's okay to be lonely on a temporary basis, and this is a normal human signal to us. Just like if we're thirsty, we need to get a drink. Being lonely is simply a signal to us that we need to reach out to people. But then understanding that and accepting it is the first stage. But then if that loneliness continues, we really need to think about what we can do to support other people and what we can do for ourselves. So, you know, if you've got a neighbour, for example, and you haven't seen them for a while, pop round and say hello. I know Lily O'Brien's Chocolates have done some research on the importance of neighbours, and I think 80% of their survey said that it was really important to have neighbours. So pop round to see your neighbour. You could do some volunteering, especially, you know, at Christmas there's lots of opportunities for volunteering in things like soup kitchens. There are park runs occurring everywhere on a Saturday. They're good places to volunteer. And I think just thinking about maybe places and spaces that you can go where you have a sense of belonging. So even if you don't have those human connections around you, go to somewhere and visit somewhere where you feel comfortable, because we know that having a sense of belonging to your community is as important as connecting to other people as well.
Okay, good advice there. Professor Andrea Wakefield of Sheffield Hallam University, many thanks for bringing us that today.